When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Well, 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 Chandler... Welcome back to another episode of Pop Apologist Podcast. I'm your co-host, Lauren. Chandler, thank you for joining us today on your podcast.
You're so formal and I love it so much because you really keep us sounding professional. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me on today's show.
I feel like we've gotten quite the bit of backlash over the Obama-Trump romance deep dive. And backlash I don't think is quite deserved. So now I'm thinking, why don't we just go full politics? Like full serious. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about nuclear energy, you know, Middle Eastern conflicts. We're going to be talking about the oil crisis in Iran.
My stomach is like hurting at the idea of having to talk about those issues. Like it's already hard enough for me to like spout off my opinions about literally meaningless topics. Mm-hmm. Like it already... fills me with a lot of insecurity and dread. So the idea of having to talk about subjects that I don't actually understand at all, that would be my worst nightmare. I actually have a friend who does like a journalism podcast. And I just have so much respect for her because the idea that we would talk about any subjects with true merit where we really would have to know our stuff is crazy.
Oh, never. So we're just going to stick to swimming in these shallow seas, Chandler. That you and I so love to indulge ourselves in. Okay, Chandler, well, I need to discuss with you something. You know, it's a conspiracy theory. It's something that people really put in the same bucket as 9/11 being a government operation, as the moon landing being faked. Mm-hmm. It's something that people never gave any credit toward. And if you brought it up during dinner conversation in polite company, people would side-eye you and question whether they'd invite you again. Yes, everyone, today... I want to talk about the Gaylor rumors, okay? And that is the coined term to refer to Taylor Swift being sort of gay.
Okay.
Speculating about someone's sexuality is not something I like to do, but when we're talking about Taylor Allison Swift, there's nothing I don't like discussing about her. And I think it's important because we're talking about one of the greatest historical figures the world has ever known, and we need to know everything about her.
Well, and I think we deserve to know every single thing about her. We deserve to know whether or not she's had any type of, you know, queer relationship. That is our right to know all that knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's our God-given right. And I also think, you know, this isn't totally unfounded.
I just need to rewind for a second. I want to dial us back to a week ago when I was just happily living my life thinking Taylor Swift was heterosexual. These were simpler times. These were times when I listened to the songs and what?
You've never heard this rumor before until last week?
I've heard the rumor. I've just always thought that these people needed to, you know, chat with someone who's also into QAnon. Like, I've just never given the rumor any credence.
Okay.
Because it's like I've had close female friendships. I've had female friendships with girls that are pretty. That doesn't mean I have a proclivity for the feminine sex. But alas, I was rattled to my core, Chandler, and the earth was shaken from under me when I received a link to a TikTok video from our sister, Courtney. And this video made me think that not only is this rumor to be considered, but this rumor is abundantly true.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read you the caption of this video, and I would love to get your thoughts. So this is what the caption is. And the photo... is Dusty Springfield's album cover. She had an album cover that is the exact same shades as the 1989 CD covers, okay? So Taylor Swift has four versions coming out, and there's a green, a salmon-y pink, a light yellow. These are all very like eggshell colors, very Eastery.
Okay.
And a light blue. Okay. So Taylor Swift chose the exact same Pantone as this Dusty Springfield woman, the singer, who came out as a bisexual in the 70s. And then not only that, Chandler, not only did Taylor Swift choose the exact hex, the exact Pantone, but she also played Dusty Springfield's cover of You Don't Own Me as the last song before she hit the stage of the Eras Tour. So I think that if we know anything about Taylor from the news of 1989 coming out later this year, it's that this woman is so like the way she communicates is through these Easter eggs, right?
Right. It's through like hidden veiled messages.
Yes. Like this is how she speaks to her fans. Right. And so to just ignore these as mere coincidence, I think we do that at our peril. So I want to lead people through these Gaylor rumors and really everything we know, the facts of the case. And then I'll let everyone be their own judge and jury and give their own verdict. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So rumors started flying, Chandler, when Taylor Swift was hanging out with Diana Agron. Apologies about the pronunciation. I didn't look it up, but she's a star on Glee. Okay. Okay. This is around 2012. They're spotted at birthday parties. They're spotted hanging out together. And these rumors are like, they're going around so much. They're so mainstream that even Jimmy Kimmel, Chandler, on his show straight up asked if they are dating. Okay.
Because they're just going to parties together?
I guess they're seeing like they're just seen a little too cozy. People are just thinking something's going on here. So on Jimmy Kimmel, Diana replied and she's like, no, but wouldn't that be juicy? And then she blew Taylor a kiss at the camera.
Okay.
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 So then following the release of 1989, fans linked the song Wonderland to Diana's tattoo of Alice in Wonderland on her ribs. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I will debate the merits of a Alice in Wonderland themed tattoo at a later date. But right now, I want to revisit these Wonderland lyrics, okay?
Let me just ask, was this all pre-Carly?
This is pre-Carly. Carly doesn't hit the scene until 2015. So many people think that these Taylor Gaylor truthers all started.
Truthers.
They all got a whiff of this when that leggy blonde Carly Kloss hit the scene with Taylor Swift. But no, that is not the case. 3 years before that, there were swirling rumors of her with Diana. So this is the lyrics from Wonderland. It says, so we went on our way, too in love to think straight. All alone, or so it seemed. But there were strangers watching, and whispers turned to talking, and talking turned to screams. Didn't they tell us, don't rush into things? Didn't you flash your green eyes at me? Didn't you calm my fears with a Cheshire Cat smile? Okay.
Okay.
Didn't it all seem new and exciting? I felt your arms twisting around me. It's all fun till somebody loses their mind. Okay, so the two things that I think really speak to these Gaylor rumors are the Cheshire Cat smile, of course, because that not only is the song titled Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland, Diana has this tattoo, but then there is this other allusion to Alice in Wonderland with a Cheshire Cat. I kind of always thought it was corny, to be honest, if I'm being totally
truthful. I think
it's
super corny. Super corny, sorry. It's not one of my favorite songs.
No, but I think the other thing that's a little more subtle is, didn't it all seem new and exciting? I think everyone thought, oh, new relationship and new love. No. Maybe she's talking about the newness of being with a woman, Chandler. Okay. So didn't it all seem new and exciting? I think that probably was new after Taylor had been, you know, for all intents and purposes, down with the D for so long. They tell us don't rush into things. Didn't you flash your green eyes at me? Didn't you calm my fears with a Cheshire Cat smile? Ooh, didn't it all seem new and exciting? I felt your arms twisting around me. It's all fun and games till somebody loses their mind. So let's move forward though, past Diana.
Can I tell you that with these evidence points, I'm 0% convinced.
Really? You're not convinced with a Wonderland tattoo, Wonderland, Cheshire Cat, new and exciting.
No, I don't. I think the tattoo is like a coincidence. I don't think. No, I really don't think so.
You know, there's another song lyric that comes to mind, and it's "I saw the signs, and they opened up my eyes. I saw the signs," and I think you are keeping your eyes closed.
I definitely am keeping my eyes closed. Well, no, I just think, I just honestly have a really hard time with this rumor.
Okay, well, Gaylor truthers Chandler have held fast in the face of doubt just like yours for years and years and years. So I'm going to proceed with the facts of their case, okay?
Okay.
Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there? You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD Gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code popapologist20 for 20% off. earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. earlybirdcbd.com. So in 2015... Taylor and Carly Kloss are in their heyday. They're hanging out GD. Yeah. They're hanging out with Cara Delevingne, a famous lesbian, bisexual. Yeah. I'm not really sure. One of the two, but fully into girls.
I think she's bisexual. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Hanging out with Hailee Steinfeld and, of course, Carly Kloss. So in 2015, Chandler, all the rumors about Taylor and Carly really start. You know, the whispers on the streets, those actually start turning to screams, okay? Because there's a lot to go on. So there's a Vogue spread of Taylor and Carly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And people from those photos did not get a best friend's vibe. They got more of a romantic vibe. There's a famous photo of them from the spread where they are basically hugging. And it's like they're in the backyard or they're in like a woodsy scene and it looks straight out of a Ralph Lauren catalog. But a Ralph Lauren catalog between a husband and a wife is what I would say. Mm-hmm. There's just a windswept romantic feel to these photos. Okay.
Yeah. I think too, that particular pose feels pretty intimate.
Yeah. Extremely intimate. I mean, I have a lot of female friends. I think you're honestly the female I'm closest to on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would grab you around the waist and nuzzle my chin into your shoulder and look with a soul-searching glance into the camera.
I mean, I hope you never would.
I never. Like, as much as I love you, that pose just would not come naturally to me to signify our relationship.
Yeah, we're not super cuddly, but I know people are.
Like with their friends that way? Super touchy?
Yeah, I have friends who are more touchy. But but I do think that pose is very cuddly.
It's very cuddly. Okay, so let's turn to the musical signifiers of this relationship, Chandler. Okay. So in 2017, Reputation comes out, and there's a collage photos of eyes used as the promotional materials on the album's physical CD. And those contained a singular photo of Carly's eyes instead of Taylor's. Okay?
I didn't know that.
Yes. Also, After Folklore came out and the song Betty, fans went crazy over the song's premise, which is a love song full of hope sung to a girl named Betty, an energy mm-hmm. that could not be dissuaded even after Taylor said herself that this was written from the perspective of a male narrator. Now, before we keep going with clues, let's break it open for a little bit of a discussion.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting to me that Taylor Swift is such an ally of the LGBT community, weeping on Miss Americana, the documentary, about Marsha Blackburn being potentially mm-hmm. elected and rights being taken away for this community. The entire music video for You Need to Calm Down is all about this community. So, Chandler, I find it to be very difficult to consider that Taylor could be bisexual, but also like really trying to put out those rumors while also stoking them. It's very interesting. What do you think?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, with the song Betty, if she's saying, no, this is by a male narrator, what she's saying mm-hmm. is like, this is not a female to female gay love song.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wonder, is that because, yes, that song itself is male to female, or is it secretly a gay love song by Taylor and she is trying to obfuscate her bisexuality?
No, I don't believe that, especially with the song Betty, because that is one of those songs that she said is a work of fiction. It's not based on her personal experience. Betty, Illicit Affairs, and some of the other ones, I think she specifically said those are not based on my personal experiences.
Well, I know that's what she said, Chandler, but you mm-hmm. and I have speculated on this podcast that that was her just trying to, throw people off the scent in terms of her writing songs about past relationships while she was in a glowing relationship with Joe Alwyn and not wanting to make him jealous. That was my grand theory on the fake narratives in Folklore and Evermore. So I just find it interesting that she's laying all these Easter eggs, mm-hmm. but then she's also trying to throw people off the scent. But I think we're getting too mired in this detail.
I totally agree with you that she does do that, that she lays Easter eggs, but then also throws people off. Like, she clearly enjoys, I think, telling her fans things and then watching them speculate, and like kind of go off with their crazy theories.
Yeah, she enjoys a bit of a cat and mouse game, perhaps.
Totally.
Okay, so in Midnight's Chandler, there is a song called New Year's Day in the lyrics, "But I stay when you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away. I want your midnights." The official lyrics are, "I want your midnights, Chandler," but fans mm-hmm. swear they hear, "I want her midnights." This seems like a stretch to me.
This is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs. New Year's mm-hmm. Day is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah.
I never have heard her.
Yeah, I am not either. So, okay, so let's keep going though. So in the song Don't Blame Me, there's the lyric, "My name is whatever you decide." And there is a photo of Carly writing Taylor's name in the sand on Instagram, but misspelling her name. Okay. Now, okay, there's also a lyric from Don't Blame Me that says, "Now I'm your daisy." And there is a photo on Carly's Instagram of a daisy. It's literally just of a daisy. Guess who's tagged, Chandler?
Taylor
Swift.
Mm.
Okay.
What's the "I'm your daisy" lyric? What song is that from?
It's from Don't Blame Me.
Mm. For the record, also, Don't Blame Me is a total skip song. I'll say it.
Okay. If we're going to actually say that, I'm going to say Reputation is basically half skippable. That was our punishment as a human race for believing the Kardashians over Taylor Swift, having the hashtag Taylor's Over Party trending and having this woman betrayed by all of us.
Joe said the exact same thing when I was with him last week, that the first 6 or 7 songs off Reputation are a punishment to everyone.
Absolutely. So in 2014, on December 5th, Taylor and Carly went to the 1975
mm-hmm.
and there are full on photos of them kissing. It's just like, that is the part that I think really puts this over the edge.
You're breathing loud into the mic, just FYI.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm hot and heavy about this. I'm freaking
out. I know you are. The photos, I can't explain. I cannot explain the photos. I have racked my brain. I've searched. You're super drunk. Maybe you're just, sharing a little peck. I don't know. I can't explain it though, because it does feel so out of character.
There's two photos. There's one of them where it absolutely looks like they're kissing. There's mm-hmm. another one of them where they're just watching the concert and Carly's arm is around Taylor's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then Taylor is holding her hand, mm-hmm, like exactly mm-hmm like you would a boyfriend.
Right, right, right. I cannot explain it. That to me is where I'm like, what? And to do that so publicly, never, I've never understood that.
So then let's also move on, Chandler, to Cornelia Street. All right. So in June 2016, Taylor moved to Cornelia Street, down the street mm-hmm from Carly. And in 2018, that's when the relationship seems to start changing. And Carly stops being in Taylor's squad. Okay. I think we will all know that there is a song called Cornelia Street. I mean, are we doing Taylor Swift 101? She could never walk Cornelia Street again.
Yeah.
This city screams your name. Carly Kloss is a model, an NYC model. It's just like... Then, finally, Cruel Summer, the lyric, and I don't want to keep secrets just to keep you. I snuck in through the garden gate every night that summer just to seal my fate. I'm sorry. Carly Kloss, to her house, there is a full garden gate. I have chills. I have chills. Yes. There's a garden gate to Carly. How many people, Chandler, in New York have a garden gate?
Right. Not that many. Not that many.
Not that many. Anyway, finally, from Midnights, hits different, Chandler. There's the lyric, bet I could still melt your world, argumentative, antithetical dream girl. The Gaylor truthers, what they will say, they will hold up this lyric and say she's not talking about herself. She's singing to the antithetical, argumentative dream girl. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, yes. And I felt you and I held you for a while, but I can still melt your world, argumentative, antithetical dream girl. And Carly Kloss is known for being argumentative and antithetical. No, I just made that up. Anyways, that's the case presented to everyone.
I will say the last two data points are more compelling.
Well, when I was curating my discovery for this case, Chandler, mm-hmm, I really wanted mm-hmm to lead up to a crescendo because I wanted the jury, Chandler, when they went into that verdict room,
yep,
to have it in their bones, in their marrow,
yeah,
that Gaylor truthers are absolutely most likely correct. Okay.
So what do you believe as of this day? What do you believe?
Oh, as of August 15th, 2023, mm-hmm, as of this recording, in the year of our Lord, 2023, I fully think that Taylor was in a relationship with both Diana Agron and Carly Kloss. And I think that Taylor Swift simply just never overtly discusses any of her relationships. And I think that is the reason why she never came out, you know, putting that mm-hmm in air quotes. I think that's the reason why she never came out, because she doesn't talk about anyone. She doesn't ever fully yeah mention any of the boyfriends. She never discusses anything overtly. The way she communicates with her fans is through the Easter eggs. It's through her yeah song lyrics. It's through right clues. Right. Okay, Chandler, so on August 15th, 2023, year of our Lord, what do you think? What is your verdict?
I also think that she had a relationship with Carly Kloss. I do. I think the kissing photos are, I don't understand that out of context, I guess. I don't know if I believe the Diana rumor. And mm-hmm I don't believe all of the Easter eggs that are allegedly about, you know, her sexuality.
Okay. Well, it's a very tempered verdict, but it is a verdict in favor that Taylor, you know, has had a relationship exactly with a woman.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So you're not as homophobic as I thought. Great.
Nope. And neither are you. Surprisingly, you're the ally in this episode.
Shocking. Oh, whatever. Oh my gosh. I've always been an ally.
No, it's true.
Since day one.
Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie powder, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also, strangely, tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, Chandler, let's take a minute break from this episode and chat Casita Jewelry because I am so, so excited that they are a sponsor this month.
I was just admiring how beautiful we both look in the long dangly earrings. Like, come on.
Okay, the long dangly earrings, I will do a full diatribe on Instagram why they are perfection.
Yeah.
All I will say, they're a perfect way to have a statement earring while also being dainty. So anyways, I just want to say this month, everyone, at CasitaJewelry.com, you can get 30% off. 30% is huge.
That's a huge discount on jewelry, yes. Especially. Yeah.
Fine jewelry. Also, she has vacation jewelry. So jewelry that's way less expensive, mm-hmm. that you can wear and not worry about so much. So there's tons on the site. There's stuff of all price ranges.
My tennis bracelet is also included in this.
You can get your tennis bracelet, diamond 1-carat tennis bracelet, for around $1,400.
Like, it's crazy.
Originally $2,100.
I think I need two. I think I need to buy another one.
I think you do. The exact bracelet I gave Chandler for being my maid of honor. It's just like our friendship bracelet, essentially. I have one too. And so if you want a diamond tennis friendship bracelet like the Popologist, go to CasitaJewelry.com. Pop Apologists, use that code for 30% off. This is only during August and it's while supplies last. And the last thing I'll say is that this jewelry brand was started by my friend Sara. And Sara truly has the best taste in jewelry of anyone I know. She's curated the most amazing collection. And so you really, if you go there, you're going to know that everything is on point, on trend, but also like really unique and special.
Yeah, yeah.
My diamond snake huggies are on there, diamond tennis bracelet, so much good stuff. So anyway, you're welcome, everyone. 30% off. Use code POPAPOLOGIST.
So everyone, you are welcome for this beautiful, truly stunning, I would say, jewelry discount. Go to CasitaJewelry.com. Use code POPAPOLOGIST for 30% off. You're welcome.
You're welcome is right.
Well, enough about your political stances and your virtue as an individual. I want to talk about a couple who I don't know if you are familiar with. Are you familiar with Brooklyn and Nicola Peltz Beckham?
I am familiar with them, but in a tertiary way, in a cursory way.
Yes,
I couldn't say that I know much about them or really am that riveted by them, but I am interested in this wedding debacle as a sort of fresh bride. Still sure. Suffering from a little wedding planning PTSD. So I am very interested in all this drama.
Yeah, I am very curious for your thoughts because let me just say, I was fully prepared to come into this segment disliking both of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but her and Brooklyn have just never been super interesting to me. In fact, they've been somewhat annoying to me. I mean, absolutely. Did you know that he has 70 tattoos dedicated to her on his body?
Okay, that's 70? The kind of...
70?
That is... All I'll say is that I had a very grumpy husband this morning and I sent him a text and he's being nicer to me. So that sounds actually excellent. 72 yeah. tattoos. That's the kind of love I would appreciate. That's endearing him to me, Chandler.
I also said maybe it's just because I'm jealous. That's why I didn't like them. Or maybe they're just out of my age demographic. Either way.
Or you know, wealth demographic. They're younger, they're richer, they're hotter than us.
Absolutely. I came into this with a bit of bias. I want you to know that after reading all of the evidence, the story is not as cut and dry, I think, as the tabloids would like us to think.
Okay. I think that is very interesting because the way that it's been spun is that Nicola was just a complete bitch, right?
Right.
She's the daughter of a billionaire. And she was just a complete and total nightmare mm-hmm. that the billionaire dad is like bullying these planners.
Right.
I mean, I was fully prepared to continue to talk in that vein. So I'm really interested to hear what you've uncovered.
No, I want you to know that I was preparing this episode with that full bias. I was framing mm-hmm. up all my thoughts with that bias. But as I continue to do my investigative journalism and read all of the information, I realized that I had to, you know, I had to operate from a place of truth. Okay, so I'm going to lay out what happened. This is somewhat old drama because all of this, you know, sort of happened in the last year, but some new things have come to light. And so I feel like it's worth going into detail about what has happened, you know, in this union.
And it's a riveting tale. So please, a quick refresher would be fabulous.
I love drama. I love rich people getting married. I love hearing about everything that those two things have to offer.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay, so let me paint a picture. 6 weeks before this Palm Beach union, if you'll remember another great Palm Beach union, Luann de Lesseps and Tom.
Do I ever?
People should learn their lesson.
I think that's also the grounds, the holy grounds that Melania and Donald were married upon. So Palm Beach has really created many sacred unions.
Absolutely.
Sacred unions of the truly wealthy.
So 6 weeks before their Palm Beach union, their wedding planner bowed out due to being, quote, overcommitted. All right. I want to just briefly note that I think it's interesting that a wedding planner would bow out 6 weeks prior to an actual wedding celebration due to being overcommitted. I hope that any wedding planner would have the foresight to not overcommit themselves, but that is what happened. And that is what set off this blunder of events. All right.
Can I speak to this or am I getting too much in the way?
You may. You may.
I just think that if I'm a bride and I'm 6 weeks out from my wedding and my wedding planner quits and says I've overcommitted myself, that is essentially the wedding planner failing in the most abysmal of ways.
Yes.
You should have realized, you know, 6 months ago that you were overcommitted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this leads me to believe is that the wedding planner, also she's doing this wedding for a full-on movie star, or not movie star, but very famous couple.
A-lister family. Yeah.
A-lister family. There's no reason on earth to bow out, to fail in such a public way, to potentially ruin your career, unless these people are putting you through hell on earth and you just like have even that to me, it still seems like worth fucking up for the sake of your career.
Well, and it begs the question, you know, this is a 500 person wedding. That's a huge wedding. That's a huge mm-hmm. paycheck.
Yes.
What wedding was more important that they needed to bow out for?
Please, please, please lay out the facts of the case.
So let me continue. Okay. So the family hires a new company called Plan Design Events, which I'm going to refer to as PDE. They were a lesser known entity. It's, you know, run by two women. They're more of an underdog hire. And according to Nicola, she wanted to give them, quote, the opportunity of a lifetime with her wedding. And my question for you, Lauren, is curious if you've ever told your dear wedding planner, Anastasia, that you were giving her the opportunity of a lifetime.
No, but I'm also not from an A-list billionaire family. And with all due respect to these wedding planners, it is the opportunity of a lifetime to be the published planner on this mega wedding. It just fully is. It's like if someone hired us to interview Gwyneth Paltrow about her wedding. She's going to do a full deep dive on her wedding.
We're going to cover it. We're going to cover this wedding.
That's an opportunity of a lifetime, bitches.
Right. Well, let me just say, sadly, this opportunity of a lifetime only lasted for 9 days.
Wait, the whole planning process only lasted for 9 days?
They were fired after 9 days.
I thought they quit after 9 days.
They were fired. I thought they quit too. They were fired.
Oh, I mean, this changes everything.
I know. So I thought they were fired, which is why I was like fully prepared to, but I checked multiple sources and they were fired.
Okay, so this wedding, I think I do remember, sorry everyone, that the facts are coming back to me a little slowly, but I do remember that it was like a quick engagement and that this was a very fast planning process. So it's not like they hired them 6 months before and at 6 weeks they pulled out. They hired them at 7.5 weeks before and at 6 weeks they pulled out. Or they were fired.
No. So there was a wedding planner. who 6 weeks before the wedding said, I'm overcommitted. I can't do this.
So it's
then they hired
planner.
A new company. Yes.
Okay. They hired the new company. Yes. Gotcha.
They hired the new company, PDE, who was more of an underdog and wanted to give them the opportunity of a lifetime, blah, blah, blah. 9 days later, they were fired.
Sorry, but it is not a good look. Like, even though it is the opportunity of a lifetime, I think that if I was a celebrity, I would just think that the person in front of me was smart enough to know that I didn't have to like tell them that.
Right, right. No, I know. It's kind of icky. Also, she's like 22. I don't know. Actually, I don't know her age. I should probably have that fact ready, but I know she's a young gal. And so it's annoying to like to have like a gal that young be like, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. I know I'm super rich.
Right, for sure.
You know. Okay, so according to PDE, which is the 9-day stint wedding planners, they claim the family put them through wedding planning hell. According to Nelson Peltz, who is the plaintiff, Nicholas' father, he says, quote, they were not up for the task. And he's suing them because they have failed to return a $159,000 deposit.
So they paid them $159,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A deposit, I suppose.
To plan this wedding 6 weeks before.
Yeah. And
they never gave it back.
They never sent it back. 9 days into the wedding.
I thought it was 9 days into the planning.
Sorry, 9 days into the planning. Yeah.
Okay. That's so interesting because I thought it was like 25 grand. 160 mm-hmm. grand is a lot of money.
Well, it's funny you say that because another source actually did the math with Nelson Peltz's wealth. He's a billionaire. He's a businessman and an investor. He's like the chairman of like Wendy's or something. I don't know. He's got a lot of money. And this is actually the equivalent of $5 for him.
I totally appreciate that. But the more rich people you meet, the more you realize how fucking cheap they are. And sometimes they get that way because they have been like, you count every penny and no rich person, doesn't matter. They don't want to feel screwed. Right.
Oh, absolutely. I have a friend
who is extremely wealthy, much more wealthy than Bethany Frankel. And this friend literally called Bird when he was overcharged by $2 and spent an hour on the phone.
Oh, Bird, the scooter company.
Yes, to get $2 back. It's like this hilarious story. Point being, people don't like to feel taken advantage of.
Totally. Anyway. Totally. Okay, so PDE filed a countersuit seeking damages for the breach of contract, and they called Nelson a, quote, billionaire bully.
Okay.
This is what's going on with the lawsuit.
Okay.
And I also want to just say that Nicole and her mom were named in the countersuit as defendants, but the new news that has recently come up is that they've been dropped from that.
Okay.
Because it's basically just the PDE versus their father, Nelson. So I'm going to get into some of the allegations.
So they're suing the father.
They're countersuing him. Yeah.
Oh, they're countersuing him. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So he started the lawsuit by suing them for the money he never got back. And now they're countersuing him.
Okay.
Okay. So let me get into some of the allegations against this wedding planning company. I'm going to quote from some of the allegations. During their 9 days of negotiations, PDE failed to book a single new wedding vendor, failed to finalize the terms of any agreements with any of the vendors that had been previously selected by Peltz and his family, and failed to attend previously scheduled meetings with Peltz. So basically, they just kind of like, you know, did not really move the ball along in the first 9 days or whatever. And, you know, it does sound like time was of the essence. And if you know, you're 6 weeks out from your wedding and not only are you not moving to book things, but you're failing to show up at meetings, like you definitely are not doing your job.
Correct.
So another interesting and I would say damning point is that they even admitted that they lacked the skills to perform and they recommended hiring an additional wedding planner.
Oh, gosh.
So a third person.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
This is making me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I feel like I was having a conversation with our dear friend Annie Groh, Wyatt's sister. Mm-hmm. And she was being so sweet. And she was like saying your wedding looked incredible. It just looked so, so amazing. And I was telling her how stressed I was leading up to it. And I was just like, anyway, I was like, but it was so amazing. It was so worth it. It was like so worth it. But I was just like, I think the stress that brides feel is so merited because like my entire wedding depended on being outside and rain could have completely ruined the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And it's not like you get a do-over. It's not like when you're spending all that money and all these people are flying in that like if it doesn't go well, it's just like, oh, well, you're still marrying the love of your life and it was still perfect. Like so many people I feel like have like trauma because just the hands of fate did not deal them a good card on their wedding day.
Right, Right.
And so anyway, I think that even for Nicola, like, this sounds like a complete shit show. It doesn't matter if she has billions of dollars. Like, this is a nightmare.
Also, it's a wedding of 500 people. Your wedding had 500 80 people?
A-listers, probably. My wedding had 80 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get into PDE's side of things.
Okay.
So, you know, they paint a similarly chaotic picture of what was happening behind the scenes during the 9 days they spent planning. According to Page Six reporting, they worked 17-hour days to meet the Peltz's demands, which included making flower bouquets wider and creating a, quote, water dance floor, whatever that is, for the after party. At one point, they say Peltz's mother, Claudia, asked them not to tell her husband that they'd paid an upward of $100,000 for hair and makeup services.
Oh,
I don't even know how you spend $100,000 on hair and makeup services. Does that mean that, like, if you have 20 people getting their hair and makeup done, it's like you're spending $5,000 on each?
No,
like,
that's what we call the billionaire tax. That's when we call literally the invoice. This invoice is for one specific client. We're going to add one more zero to the end of this invoice.
Another really sizzling detail that they revealed was that Peltz, both Nicola and her mother, did not want Victoria Beckham to know about any of the drama behind the scenes. They wanted to keep her totally insulated, which I think is kind of interesting. Like, they, you know, wanted to definitely keep a front of everything was going fine. A lot of the disputes have been about the guest list, which the wedding planners claim, you know, Nicola was constantly changing. They say that after mistakenly telling her that the driver, Lewis Hamilton, would be attending, they received an angry text from her that said, "Lewis Hamilton did not RSVP. So explain why his name is on the list, please."
Oh,
and I actually saw these screenshots, and it's so hilarious because, like, they're going from, you know, normal conversations to then very sharp interactions. And she also texted them, "DeSantis must be off the guest list. Please confirm."
I think that there is something about, you know, you can be straightforward, but full on just screaming at people and being a total bitch, it's just,
yeah,
it is fully, it's just giving billionaire's daughter. I'm sorry.
Oh, totally. Well, and I think with a guest list of 500 people who I'm sure you're trying to nail down constantly, people are going to slip through the cracks. Or people are going to RSVP, but then decide they're not going to come. Like, or these people don't care.
Minute. These people do not care. So
I do not
care on this level. They probably, honestly, don't even think about things until they're a couple weeks out, some of them.
Because
they're just traveling constantly.
Right.
Yeah, they can be somewhere because they have a private jet that can take them the next day.
Exactly. And my advice to billionaires everywhere, you know, would be to plan a 250-person wedding. I think a 500-person wedding is just too big. And I think it is too chaotic. And it's a Herculean task.
There's a huge amount of billionaires who listen to our podcast. So a portion of them are for sure engaged. So I think that, you know, that advice generally will be taken to heart by a lot of people. Thank you.
Another claim from PDE is that Nicola was always too busy to speak with them over the phone, which I can totally understand the frustration level there where you're like, I need to get so many details. I need to, like, understand like where you're coming from. But if you can't even get on the phone, or if I have to handle everything over text, like, that would be maddening because a phone call can be so much more clear and more simple.
And so much more efficient. You can text for a day and have a 10-minute phone call and get through the same amount of stuff.
Right. Okay, so a few other allegations that PDE says, you know, travel arrangements had not been made. The flowers and the cake still needed to be sorted, along with a hair and makeup artist, photographers, and videographers.
This is like almost the entire wedding.
So I'm confused about what the original wedding planner did.
She probably found the venue. Where did they get married?
At their father's beachfront place. So it wasn't even like they got married.
So it's the entire wedding.
Okay, so I want to get into one other thing before I give my concluding statements on this. So I think this is a little bit damning as well. 2 days after getting fired, PDE begged Nelson and his wife Claudia not to spread negative gossip about them. And they wrote in an email, quote, "In order to avoid negative gossip, we would appreciate that in the case you are asked to comment on our departure, that your answer reflects the work and good attitude we put into the process and no professional reason for our detachment. We will say we are under NDA and cannot comment. This keeps us both in a very good place. We really wish you and the family a fantastic event. We are sure, as you even said, that our paths will cross in the future, as I truly feel we have a great connection with you and Claudia," end quote.
So what did he say to that? Which sounds totally reasonable. I mean, they're firing them.
Right.
Like, do they need to ruin their careers?
Right. I don't have their response, but I do think the fact that PDE said, "Please don't speak negatively about us," maybe shows that they dropped the ball. And there's another piece of evidence that Nelson claims that I just think is totally outlandish and kind of a bummer. You know, it's a little mudslingy. He is suggesting that he's suggesting that one of the women who are part of PDE has a drinking problem. Okay. Because she sent a text to Nicole, like they're in this group text that's called like the Real Planners or something. And her text in this thread says, "Now I'm going for a tequila. My head is about to explode." After a long day of back and forth, and Nicola
like even deserved a tequila.
Right. And Nicola even responded and said, "Yes, queen." And I think the mom was like, "Enjoy." But like now this is being turned into she has a drinking problem.
Classic. Okay.
I have also one other funny little tidbit. So you might ask, what is Brooklyn up to in all this? You know, what does he think about this debacle? Or, and where was he during all this wedding planning? So apparently Nicola did not want him involved at all. Okay. She actually texted the planners and said, "I do not trust Brooklyn with this. You should be asking an assistant. He has no idea and is guessing." And then he remained mostly silent in the group chat about like, you know, all the planning, except he asked about the possibility of setting up guns that could shoot nets to capture any camera drones hovering above the event.
Stop.
I know. Isn't that so funny?
Rich children just guns? Have such different lives. Can we get guns to shoot guns at any camera nets? Drones?
Like there's got to be a gun that could shoot a net to capture a drone. And then another, you know, sizzling detail that's kind of just come out is that there will be a televised deposition, which I will be watching.
I thought it was just video deposition. I didn't know it would be televised.
It may or may not be televised, but it will be on camera. So I bet we'll get to see a little bit of it.
I pray so. You just were reading. You said another new detail came to light. What's the new detail?
Apparently, at one point, the dad even texted them the message, "Are you crying?"
Wow. This sounds like a really special family.
My overall thoughts, though, Lauren, I do side with the billionaires. You heard that right. I don't know the exact clause in their contract, but I do think if you were only on the job for 9 days and you did not even execute, that I don't think it's right that they get to keep that 160 grand.
I'm going to have to agree with you here. I think that some of it should be kept if they were let go. One thing, if they quit, then yeah, they should probably return most of it. But if they're let go and they've spent 9 sleepless nights working around the clock for these billionaires and trying to wrangle them, even if they're not up to the task, even if they did get fired, they should be compensated for that time.
Yeah, so maybe not the full amount, but some of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they should be compensated for, a portion. So anyway, I guess it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. Thank you, Chandler, for your reporting of this new information on this drama.
Of course. Ugh,
Nicola. She did not become the Sophia Richie Grange as she had hoped, as she was so longing for. And I do feel sad for her about that, you know?
No sadness for her. Yeah.
No little violin playing for
none.
Daughter of a billionaire. Okay. That's probably fair.
I mean, there's also crazy stories about her allegedly like being terrible to her nannies. She seems like a nightmare. Like all of this stuff aside, maybe it's impossible to not become a nightmare.
Who knows?
Lauren, before we go, I have to tell you about some devastating news I found out this morning.
What?
While I was in East Hampton, Gwyneth Paltrow was also there. She was literally there because she was spotted at this like concert thing with Chris Martin and Moses in the town that I was walking around in.
Well, I mean, every night we sleep on the same earth as her, but for those nights, Chandler, you were mere miles away.
I know. Can you believe that?
It's devastating.
I literally drove past the venue. I can't even talk about it anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for the sad news.
Let's end this episode in tears. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you like this show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, if you'd be so kind. And also please hit the follow button, hit the subscribe button so you always get a new episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, listening on Spotify, hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. And then don't forget that this month the show is sponsored by Casita Jewelry. So go to casitajewelry.com for 30% off whatever you want site-wide. Huge discount. Just use code POPAPOLOGIST. And we will be back on Friday. Love you all so much. Thank you for listening. And with that, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.